All right. Welcome to another episode of the Sick Nasty Deluxe Podcast. I'm here with Perry and Sean, who is new to the podcast. But, you know, I figured because Perry's not really pulling his weight that we should maybe add another person.
That's nice.
That's not true.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't hold it against them. There's a lot to pull.
Listen, if I have to be the weight that brings this down, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a damn good job, too.
All right. In honor of Sean being here and his sort of unknowledgeness of comics, we're going to start with some podcasting, some pop culture sort of topics, I guess.
I do have a high unknowledgeness of comics.
It really puts you up on a pedestal for the things you don't know.
That's good. I like that.
All right. So... People's Choice Awards were last night.
Wait, what?
Yep.
What's and People's Choice?
It's one of the worst, truly worst award shows that exists.
One of the most infuriating award shows that exists.
Well, because you don't know how much it's really telling you about how awful we are as a culture and how much it's just, you know, completely rigged. Just think about that.
Well, who are the people making these choices?
Well, I guess us.
Okay.
That's my first question. Does anybody know how you vote in the People's Choice Awards?
Is it the magazine people, or is that nothing to do with it?
I figured you had to text.
Text.
I mean, it's mostly about texting. We gotta pay a little. You gotta give a little to make a little. But wait a second. Is it the People's Magazine? Is that it, or is it like Us Weekly?
No.
What is it?
I don't know who actually runs it. It might just be owned by CBS.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay, because I actually thought it was the People's Magazine.
No. People, I don't even know if that's still around anymore.
Yeah,
it's
like celeb gossip.
But no. And some of their choices that I read about, I liked. I think Castle's an amazing show. Nathan Fillion got a lot of love.
Really? Judging from some of these other winners, that's pretty surprising.
But there are just some... when you look at certain ones, specifically the fact that Best New Comedy went to Two Broke Girls.
It did?
It did.
That racist show?
That incredibly racist show.
Yeah, that's the network comedy. The best cable comedy is Hot in Cleveland.
Which, you know what? Betty White, maybe she's awesome. It's a bunch of hot old ladies.
Well, that's not like a maybe. That's a definite. But, I mean, I don't know if her show really is all that great.
She is vivacious.
Vivacious? Wow, Brandon. Way to describe an old woman with old woman terms.
Just the fact that, like, I feel like the network... best comedy is more horrific and more offensive than the cable comedy. That's really weird.
Well, why would
absolutely?
I mean, did they just have to give it an award? Do they need that so that I can say like they won?
If you look at all the new comedies, you have Two Broke Girls, Last Man Standing, New Girl, Suburgatory. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Suburgatory and Up All Night, and New Girl and Up All Night are like a million times better.
Nup All Night, that's the one with the Christina Applegate, right?
Yeah, Christina Applegate, Will Arnett.
Did that get renewed for more seasons?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, like, I think New Girl was better than everything combined, but Up All Night's another one I'm still watching.
Wait, this for the new shows, though? So it wasn't like...
It's only the new shows.
It's just new, yeah.
Did Community finally win something? I mean, because Community could win something at some point. Yeah. It'd be nice.
Community, Community didn't even win anything when it was new.
Oh, they didn't win an Emmy either, so they've never won anything. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, I would say it's, like, the third time that I've ever said that, like, the sitcom is, like, the best sitcom ever made. And, well, like, that's including, like, Fawlty Towers and, Seinfeld.
Well, I mean, I like, shows like How I Met Your Mother or something like that, but I still feel like it's kind of crazy that, I don't know, has How I Met Your Mother won, like, an Emmy or a People's Choice?
Oh, no, How I Met Your Mother won stuff all the time. It won, the best, current comedy.
Okay, so that's fine, but even still, like, I kind of feel like somebody should throw Community a bone because those are probably the two top comedies out there right now.
Yeah, probably.
No, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there wasn't really any category for Community now, and it only had half a season. It got screwed this year.
I know we're going off topic. It's coming back, right?
Yeah, in spring.
Okay, good.
They already showed, like, a preview for the next episode. It's going to be, like, some kind of parody of something.
All right, so Sean...
You don't say.
So, Sean, you said there's something bad about the People's Choice Awards. Like, besides the comedies and stuff like that, like, what else got, like, really, like, disaster?
I think the best way to say how bad the People's Choice Awards are is to just say Katy Perry swept them.
Oh, yeah.
She did?
Maybe 50% of the categories.
All right, so now I'm a little confused, because is this, like, just, like, a... Is this, like, a TV show thing, or is this, like, a music thing, too?
That's music. It's all pop culture.
Oh.
So you got, like, action... Yeah, favorite action movie. Let's see. Favorite movie icon. Favorite movie to book adaptation. Or, sorry, yeah. Book to movie adaptation.
I kind of feel like there's a point where an award show can get too, like, overarching. Like, it has too much stuff in it that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, that's why we have the Grammys and the Oscars. We separate those, music and stuff.
The favorite band category is the one where I'm like, where are they really picking these from, though? It's like Coldplay, Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, Maroon 5, and Red Hot Chili Peppers. None of which are really relevant.
I was going to say, when was the last time Linkin Park came out with an album?
No, it's like... They picked, like, the most irrelevant bands, so they had no choice, but somebody had to pick Maroon 5.
Well, no, to be fair, Maroon 5 and Coldplay, I think it just came out with new albums, like, this year. I mean, maybe Linkin Park did, but I didn't hear it.
Foo Fighters did.
Foo Fighters did, too. So, I mean, these guys came out
The album wasn't bad, but it's weird that those were the ones that were picked for the year.
I bet if you took a survey of all of the favorite artists on Facebook, you'd get these five bands.
Maybe that's how they pick them now.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I thought, like, there are, like, a bunch of new bands that everybody loves, like Owl City and what's Vampire Weekend and stuff like that. I thought that's those were, like, those big stuff.
Yeah, but these are, like, the blue chip shitty bands. These are, like, the ones that are going to survive.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's true.
These are the Aerosmiths of our generation.
Exactly.
Listen, you know what? Aerosmith came out with some good hits. And Steven Tyler, he's just trying to make a living now. He's doing a good job.
His ugly, ugly face.
He's going to pick the next, American Idol or something? Britain's Got Talent?
I don't know. He's on every single one of those shows. But yeah, wow, Katy Perry, like, won music video, single, artist. That's pretty horrific.
She's even nominated in, she was favorite TV guest star.
She was also favorite TV guest star on How I Met Your Mother.
Wait, she was in that? When was she in that? That's right. She was the ugly pumpkin, or the slutty pumpkin, right?
No.
Oh.
No, that was a recurring guest star. I can't remember who that was.
I don't know who Katy Perry was then. Huh. Oh, well.
I'm trying to remember exactly what episode it was, but yeah.
Well, obviously, it was a very memorable episode.
It really wasn't.
Listen, I know Katy Perry's a brunette sometimes, and that's what counts.
I don't know what that means.
Well, she is, I think. That's the only thing I can remember about her. She's got a brunette, and maybe sometimes she has a ponytail.
And then there's categories like favorite movie icon. Like, what? Like, what do you have to be put into that?
What are you talking about? Like the Hollywood thing? Like, where it has the Sphinx?
I don't even know if you needed to have a movie out that year to get that award.
What's the movie icon thing? What are we talking about?
That's the People's Choice category.
No, when you say that, though, that basically makes me think of, like, those little titles that come before your movie. So, you know, you get the Hollywood one. So Hollywood
films. A movie logo.
Right, exactly.
I don't know what it means, but Morgan Freeman won it.
Well, he is fantastic.
It's all that matters.
Wait, you know, he did come out with a great movie that year. It was Dolphin Tale. What a classic.
Of course.
No.
Available on DVD now.
He was in Red, the Warren Ellis...
That wasn't this year.
That was this year, wasn't it?
No, it was Old People. It was...
It was the Old People fighting as spies.
I don't care. That was a fun movie. But
it was a great movie.
That was, like, last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that was 2010.
Yeah, and we're not talking about 2011 yet. 2010. But Morgan Freeman, Hollywood icon, really?
Yeah, he is the favorite Hollywood icon, or movie icon. I guess you could be from Bollywood at some point and win this.
At least Bridesmaids won favorite comedy movie.
It did?
Which is interesting. That's,
what was up for it? I mean, to be really honest, I love Bridesmaids and everything like that, but it was kind of a shitty year for comedies in general, wasn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah like, you had the Hangover 2, which is just the exact same movie again, stuff
right.
like that.
You could just, like, fast forward the Hangover 1 and you pretty much have the same movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, and what else do they have? Like, 30 minutes or less, or
no,
whatever.
This is truly the worst, and I guess this applies to just the general theme of this podcast. Favorite movie superhero: Ryan Reynolds as the Green Lantern.
Oh my god,
really?
Which couldn't be more off. It should have completely been, and maybe you can't count Magneto as a superhero. It should have been Fassbender as Magneto.
Absolutely.
He was so good. I want just a Magneto movie with him now.
Well, I mean, at the very least, it
looks like he would have been eligible for these awards because McAvoy got a nomination.
Well, I mean, I know, but maybe, you know, they say superhero, not supervillain.
Well, I don't know.
Hopefully I'm just being a retarded nerd about that.
But who played Charles Xavier? I liked him and
it was McAvoy, who I normally don't like.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job.
And Jennifer Lawrence was up for her role as Mystique, but Fassbender wasn't up for his role.
That is weird. She did a really good job as Mystique. I actually liked her as Mystique.
And really, to be honest, Ryan Reynolds wasn't a bad Green Lantern. It was just the movie in general was terrible. He didn't do that bad job.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like how, you know, Chris Evans in the Fantastic Four, he was a pretty good Johnny Storm, but...
He was great.
Yeah,
he was
but like it's a just a really asshole. Crappy movie. Really crappy movie.
He was very good as the kind of asshole that Johnny Storm would be in real life.
But I'm
kind of
glad he's doing the whole Captain America thing now. And actually,
he's good on that too.
And also, by the way, why not Chris Evans as Captain America? Why didn't that win? He was really good as that. Like, he's perfect.
He was up for that.
Yeah.
But he didn't. Yeah, I know.
It's pretty backwards.
Was good, I was going to say.
He wasn't nearly as good as some of the best ones this year.
How many, like, if we
Chris Hemsworth's Thor was so good.
Okay, so you guys know obviously more about pop culture and stuff like that probably than I take notice of. But how many people went to see Green Lantern versus how many people went to go see Captain America? I think
Captain America blew it out of the water.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was people's choice. I mean, everybody saw Captain America. Everybody loved it. I didn't know.
Green Lantern will get no love in like some of the later award shows. Even though the Oscars are bullshit too. At least like you know, some of the stuff makes sense when they pick.
Well, yeah, you're not going to get any like. The best thing that Captain America could ever pull off as far as an award is maybe costume design, but I doubt it. They're going to get it if they get up for anything. Which is funny.
Like, I think Captain America was even better costumed than Green Lantern.
Oh, it was. They did a really great job. It was a really great period sort of piece. And it was fun. That's all they cared about. There's a little bit of weird stuff, but yeah.
But Captain America's only going to get awards when those West Coast elites in the Academy are voting. Not the people.
Those people are going to knock it down. Listen, Ryan Reynolds, and I feel bad because actually I kind of like him, but he needs that award. He needs it.
He does need it.
He does.
He's insecure. I feel like he's an insecure guy.
I know. God forbid he actually make like a good movie like that. What was it? Was the movie called Buried or something like that?
Well, you know, the studios keep tabling my Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place movie. Well, nobody will option it.
Well, I mean, I think you
don't stop trying, Brandon.
I'm gonna get it made.
I think the problem is it's 3 hours. Maybe if you did it a two-parter.
No. And I'm going to bring back those other two actors that were in the show that had no career after that.
Also, I mean, like, one of the problems with these two-parter things, too, with your Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place is that they could just film it all in, like, New Zealand. You actually have to change the set piece.
No. Toronto. But I'll tell everybody it's New York.
Well, no, but you can't film the Pizza Place in Toronto. You have to film that in New York, and then you can film the upstairs in Toronto. It's movie magic.
Oh. I don't even think
so. You've got to establish it in New York.
Right, exactly.
Nathan Fillion's just going to be the main appeal of the movie.
Brandon, when I watched a show like Family Matters, the way I knew it was in Chicago was because those opening shots let me know that.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough stupid dummy stuff.
So
what was... Okay, so the Teen Choice Awards, obviously bogus. So what kind of award shows can I look forward to?
None. There are no good award shows because they're all just about self-gratification for the actors and producers and directors.
Well, the Golden Gloves are pretty soon, right?
That's going to be good.
Next week, right?
Oh, it's going to be good. Well, they've already announced all the Golden Globe like nominations, I think.
I like how both of you instantly dismiss award shows and then very much they're like, Golden Globes, got to watch it, front row seats.
That's the beauty of it all.
You guys just hate yourselves, don't you? That's fantastic.
I think that's obvious.
Who is hosting? Just out of curiosity, because there's always get like you know you're always gonna get like an awful host, except for Billy Crystal, who apparently seems like he can do this. No, like...
Oh my god, have you seen that like overproduced commercial that says he's coming back to the Oscars?
No, what's that like?
It was I think I was watching The Descendants, and that was the commercial before the movie. It was like some Indiana Jones bullshit thing.
Well, I mean the. What was it? The guy from The Office who Ricky Gervais, when he did the Oscars, right? Like last year or something?
He was terrible.
Well, it was like awkward laughing from everyone because...
Well, he did the Golden Globes, right?
Oh, the Golden Globes? Whatever.
And he's doing it again this year.
Oh, okay.
I remember watching him for that. I remember it being really bad.
It was like the time when Stephen Colbert did the, National Press Conference? He did like...
I don't see how that's...
And everybody was like, I don't really get the jokes. And then you could tell that everybody on the internet was laughing their asses off.
Hmm.
It must have worked for the Golden Globes. It must have gotten them some money because
I guess
they're bringing him back.
I mean, he just did a stand-up, which I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah. I like him. Well, his podcast, anyway.
He's okay in my book.
All right, so People's Choice Awards. Who was hosting it, just out of curiosity?
I don't know.
It was on MTV, right? Let's see.
What? Wait, People's Choice Awards on the MTV?
CBS.
Oh, CBS, you're right. It just seems like the kind of thing that would be on MTV.
Was it Ryan Seacrest?
Of these categories.
I hope it was Ryan Seacrest.
MTV does, like, do that terrible movie awards where they're like, let's rate Best Kiss.
Oh, that's right. That probably has more categories than the People's Choice Awards.
It does.
The Best Kiss always has to, like, end with a lesbian kiss, right? I'm pretty sure.
Not often enough. But I think last year it was The Runaways, so it did.
Oh.
That was with Dakota Fanning, lesbian kiss.
Oh, I figured it would have been the lesbian kiss with Natalie Portman. And what is it, Black Swan? Yeah.
The movie was so bad, it didn't matter how hot the kiss was.
What, Black Swan? Oh, I heard a lot of good things from it. I never actually saw it myself.
So bad.
I heard a lot of bad things from it, and it came out of my mouth.
Brandon, let's not do this here.
The fountain all over again.
The fountain? Like the movie The Fountain or the book The Fountain?
Well, it's just both movies. Aronofsky's complete and utter trash way of making movies.
You didn't like The Wrestler?
The Wrestler was okay. But, I mean, that's more of like a fluke. And he also got two of the worst actors who are, like, washed up to be in the movie, and that made it even weirder how good it was.
That's true. When it comes to wrestling movies, you're more about, let's get ready to rumble, right? That's your top.
That's a good movie. But Mickey Rourke and Marissa Tomei, come on. Nobody thinks that they're good actors.
You know what? I still enjoy My Cousin Vinny, and I think that's an Oscar-worthy movie.
Oh, my God. Does she have two Oscars now?
She does. She does.
That's so awful.
She got an Oscar for The Wrestler?
I thought she did.
No, but she was up for it.
She was definitely up for it. I don't remember if she was.
I don't remember. Listen, you know what? My Cousin Vinny's a great movie. I don't care.
Her Jersey accent really warranted that Oscar.
It made me actually really feel like she came from Jersey, and she was a car mechanic.
Let's just reenact the plot.
Do you know how much she had to go through to get that perm? A lot of hairspray.
All right, so next topic.
It's movie magic.
Yeah, what's up?
30 Rock is making an episode based on Tracy Morgan's homophobic stand-up rant. I don't know anything about this. Sean, explain.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess it was middle of the year last year. Someone at one of Tracy Morgan's stand-up shows recorded with their camera, or with their phone camera, some rant that he had about what he would do if he had a gay son. And it was like, it was pretty violent and pretty terrible. And so basically everyone from the cast of 30 Rock distanced themselves from him and, you know, said he had to apologize. And of course he did the regular celebrity thing and apologized and did all, you know, talked to GLAAD and did all this, the celebrity version of community service basically.
Right. And donated money to dog fighting clubs or something.
Did he really do that? I thought like the whole thing was like, he never actually really apologized for it. He's kind of like, well, yeah, I really don't want a gay kid.
Is that true?
I don't know. I haven't kept up on it, because honestly, I was kind of surprised that Tina Fey would still like be like, yeah, be on the show, yay.
Well, he's playing himself. She knew what she was getting into.
Well, it's kind of like with Alec Baldwin on there. He's a big douche, too, all the time. I mean, he's funny, but he's a douche.
But he's a hilarious douche.
He's such a big douche.
Yeah, like, what's the word for friends? Crazy douche.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, he's probably a terrible parent, from what I can tell from the news, and...
Well, yeah, he's very much like his character, which is hilarious and sad at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody really is just playing themselves. That's what's so brilliant about it. Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, to tell you the truth, if you actually read like Tina Fey stuff and everything like that, she actually feels like a little bit of a prude compared to like her stuff that she sees on the show.
What do you mean? She comes off as a sort of a prude on the show.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, what I'm saying is like, so she like in the episode where they go to the strip club and everything like that. That was like one of the very first ones, right? Where
that
she like,
pilot,
yeah. Where she gets him in there. I think they were talking about an interview, and she's like, yeah, going to a strip club in a comedy show is very funny, and it's great for laughs. In real life, it's very sad, and don't do it. And I was like, okay, well, I guess that's true.
I don't know. I read her book. She didn't seem prude in that.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm not saying that she's like a full-on, but, you know, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I read that same interview. Yeah, it sounds like she's a little bit distancing herself from what our character's doing.
Right. I don't think half the things she does in 30 Rock and half the things these people do in 30 Rock anyway, they should actually be like, yeah, that's exactly how I act.
Well, clearly, they could have all just used their own names if they wanted to. Most of them are involved in comedy writing.
Right.
Like, outside of the show.
Yeah.
Right, yep. Well, like, I know, what's his name, Frank? He does, like, a lot of stand-up, right?
Yeah, I ran into him outside a club in Brooklyn one time. It was pretty crazy.
Was he wearing one of his hats?
He was. He was going into, like, a comedy club next door.
But
well, that's good.
It was pretty cool.
So are they just going to do, like, is Tracy Morgan's character going to, like, have done a homophobic rant, and then they do that?
I feel like they wouldn't do this episode if he wasn't apologetic.
Right. But it is a little bit crazy that they're taking it the step further and kind of just making comedy fodder out of the whole mess.
Yeah, it's dangerous, though. We'll see how it turns out.
Well, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you distance yourselves when you watch these sitcoms. Like, you know, you don't watch Seinfeld now and you think, wow, there's Kramer. He's a racist bigot. Yay. I mean, you actually think about that.
I mean, like, they had that Curb Your Enthusiasm Seinfeld reunion and, you know, nobody even brought it up, really. I think there was, like, one joke about it.
Oh, they made a wink at it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they did? Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what it was, but it was, like... Actually, yeah, I'm not even going to be able to describe it because I completely forget. But it was very
small,
it was like one joke.
It was just like, I think it was like, you know, the third or fourth episode with Michael Richards in it, and they just sort of brushed over it.
Yeah. I mean, and to be completely honest, I mean, Tracy Morgan, as far as 30 Rock goes, that's kind of only his thing at this point. And it's the same thing with Michael Richards. You know, he can't really do anything else except maybe come on Curb Your Enthusiasm for like a Seinfeld thing.
When you say that's their only thing, like, they're doing these shows, but they're also writing, and they're also, a lot of these guys are acting, and doing stand-up all over the city.
I don't know, does Tracy Morgan write anything at all? I mean, I figured he does stand-up.
I think he might just do stand-up, but right. You can still make a living off of it, not the best.
And he tried to do Cop Out, but he failed.
I think Cop Out came out before all this stuff, like, happened, like, all this,
oh,
like,
yeah, definitely.
I think there was some funny stuff in Cop Out, but it was like, you know, Kevin Smith made a lot better movies.
Well, I mean, actually, I think Kevin Smith, the Red State movie, apparently was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that.
Yeah. Anyway, but, so, they're making fun of something with Tracy Morgan, 30 Rock's still funny, and actually, hell, why haven't they made fun of what Alec Baldwin did to his daughter with that
SNL
nice voicemail?
SNL sort of already made fun of that stuff.
Oh, well, I know, they already made fun of him, like, doing the Worst with Friends thing, which, God...
It's like, embarrassing.
I wouldn't be surprised if Alec Baldwin was just too proud to let them do that in 30 Rock.
Probably.
Do you remember he was trying to get out of it?
Yeah. I think it was this next season that he said, like the one after this season, he said he wasn't coming back for, but he just recently signed on.
When he had all that hilarious stuff happen with him and his daughter.
Very hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny. Let's not forget that. basically wanted to get out of his contract, and NBC was like, hell no.
That's right, yeah, that was a long time ago. But recently he said he was never coming back again after the fifth or sixth season, whatever this one is.
I think that was like the big title thing, because like, when you look at the interviews and stuff like that, he's like, if Tina Fey comes out with a script, or if they want to keep doing it, and everybody comes back. Like, it's always like that kind of a deal.
This is one of those shows where like, the whole cast really needs to stay together.
Well, it was just like,
Yeah.
I remember everyone lost their shit when Jason Segel was like, you know what, I don't think there's anything to write for my character and How I Met Your Mother, alright?
Yeah, but he's like, still signing on for every season.
Well, that's my point. He says this thing, like, one little blurb of it, and then everyone loses their shit. They're like, well, he's leaving. And no, he's gonna stick around until the show's just done. But he'll probably leave.
It would seriously, that's the kind of show you'd be screwed if one of your characters left. Because you'd have to write him out, and it wouldn't make any sense anymore.
Right, but the point is that... what they're going to do with the How I Met Your Mother thing is at a certain point they're going to say, we're done. We've got to finish this damn thing. Because it can't go on forever. They've kind of ruined it. Unless the kids turn out to be androids or something. They have to be a certain age.
They've already dated themselves into a corner.
Right.
It has to end by the year 2030.
Yeah, so that means that like they'll have to finish it in the next 3 years, right? Because how old are the kids? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's 15? What I'm saying.
I was thinking that, like, one of them maybe came from outer space, so it could easily go until, like, 2030.
So you're bringing aliens into the...
Well, yeah, I mean, if you saw...
Into the universe now.
Let's...
Listen, I have an amazing theory on it, but
I want to hear it.
It involves a lot of, like, quantum physics.
That's a lot. But no, like, so the last episode, what was it, like Symphony of Illusion or whatnot, where Robin thinks she has kids and stuff because she's crazy? Well, they could do the same thing with Ted's kids. They don't actually exist. They're puppets.
No, that episode was super creepy. That was weird.
Well, I mean, that just adds a little bit to her character, meaning she's crazy.
Yeah, now we know she's as insane as, like, you know, characters in Walking Dead.
Well, listen, she's dealing with a lot of tragedy. She just needs to bottle it up and let it fester.
Yeah, I hope they continue that and just old Lady Robin with, like, all her dead children or something.
Right, exactly. They'll be like, you know, well, Ted's kids, you can't exist because Robin actually killed Ted in the later season.
And I don't want to turn this into some sort of How I Met Your Mother, you know, speculation podcast.
Oh, this isn't the fan cast for How I Met Your Mother?
No, now it is. Now it is. I'm going to get... I'll get Neil Patrick Harris on to do an interview.
Oh my god! But can actually that be our goal? Because that's actually all I really
I thought
want.
That his. I thought that Barney was going to marry Robin.
Listen,
but
your goal.
They
for
make
like,
it sound like he won't.
We already said what your goal was for this podcast, like to meet so and so. Some.
Oh
some
no!
Nerd.
Yeah, I want to have a hamburger with Eric Larson,
right? Exactly,
writer and drawer of Savage Dragon.
Right. Mine is to basically get Neil Patrick Harris on here at any cost.
Please, please, please. People's Choice Award winner, Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh. Let's us be forgotten. Lowly bow your head, dog.
When I saw that movie with the 3D glasses, it was like he was right there with me, sitting next to me. Eating my
How
popcorn.
Was that? Was that pretty good?
I actually did not see it, but okay. I wish I did. I'm going to buy a 3D Blu-ray player. That is basically how they've sold me on this. No,
just for that one movie.
Just for Katy Perry as Smurfette.
As Smurfette. I mean, what we really needed with Smurfette was sex appeal, because that's one thing that was lacking.
Yeah, everyone was thinking it.
I don't know. I think what was really needed was a sort of, I don't know if you'd call it racist, Scottish version of a Smurf.
Oh, no. I mean, I completely agree. Not that, you know, the Smurfs need to make more sense, but we need to have ethnic differences between each one.
Well, yeah, I was like, why does he even have an accent? I don't understand this. Is
oh,
there
whatever.
Roguish Smurf now? Where's what? Asian Smurf?
All right, first off, let's talk about...
Where
freaking,
is Asian Smurf?
What about Painter Smurf? And he had a French accent. I didn't see you up in arms with that, Brandon.
Which Smurf?
That was Painter Smurf. He had a beret on. Of course he had a French
that.
Accent. Who's the artist? I don't know.
I don't know what his name was, but
yeah,
he was the artistic one.
And
yeah.
Grouchy Smurf obviously had a slight New York accent, and that was because New Yorkers are grouchy.
That might be true.
It is true.
It might be true.
It is true.
So were they all born in different parts of the Smurf world?
No.
And they just were brought together Papa Smurf?
Papa Smurf.
I think Papa Smurf just laid a bunch of eggs or something.
Smurfs are eternal, and Papa Smurf basically named each one because he didn't tell them apart. Only he could wear red. He's the leader. It's a marriage.
But everybody else had to wear... Oh my god. It's communism.
No, it's not. There's only... Okay, that's the one thing that really gets me. There's only one Smurf with red. It can't be communism. It's a whole bunch of white people. Or white Smurf head things.
What?
No,
it's... That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
All their hats are white, except for the leaders, who's red.
Right, who's red.
That's just because he likes to draw on them in their sleep and put, like,
now,
penises
if you
on
put,
the hats.
Now, if you put Papa Smurf in the middle, and then you made the rest of the Smurfs go around in a rectangle, then it would be Japan. Which is not communism.
What are we talking about now?
I'm just telling you, it's Smurfs. It's not communism.
I'm disappointed in that Smurfs exist at all.
Why?
But they don't really exist, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, they don't exist, but, you know, they exist.
Well, are they in New York, or are they deleted?
Yeah, they're in New York, like the movie.
Okay.
Now, did the movie add that to the... To the canon, that they're in New York, or was that all? They're always in some forest in the middle of Central Park.
Well, I don't know.
I want to believe that they were always in Central Park, and that Gargamel was just that retarded.
And there's a castle in Central Park.
Yep, like a mushroom village that teenagers, you know, come routinely and smoke, and they have to rebuild it.
Well, that's another thing that I didn't understand about the movie. Wasn't the cat like CG? Why didn't you just get like the Sabrina cat? He's not doing anything. That would have worked.
That wasn't a real cat.
What? Yeah, and he can talk too, right?
What?
How many talking cats are there? He has to be the only one.
There's a few.
Well, Azrael never talked anyway. He was like, around.
No, yeah, he meowed and
was
like...
That's true, yeah. So the Sabrina cat was a little overqualified. Yeah.
Like, he was like a Gargamel's heterosexual life partner.
I'm pretty sure if you gave him a... What? I don't think I ever read that in the cartoon. That was like the same thing that... Are you the same people who
it
like
was,
read
it? Between the lines.
Between the lines, that's true.
Between the lines, right. Are you like the people who are like questioning why there were now two girl Smurfs out of the entire village?
Oh, when, like the little kid Smurf too?
Right. Well, actually, see, but she may have not actually been a girl. She could have just been a boy with pigtails.
Wow. That's...
Wait, they added a younger girl Smurf?
Yeah. She had red hair. Actually, the more creepy thing about the girl Smurfs were that they actually grew hair. That was weird.
Did they?
Yeah, they had hair.
Yes.
Well, no. We don't know if the other Smurf doesn't have hair. That, remember, the Scottish Smurf had red hair.
Oh, he did.
Ugh. Oh, that's true, yeah.
And Papa Smurf has hair, too. That's really weird.
And Beardly Smurf had a beard.
Is that like a, maybe like a caste system that they have? Like, the more hair you have, like, you know, the higher up on the food chain you are?
So really, Smurfette's running things.
Well, I mean, no, we don't know. Papa Smurf can have a lot of back hair. We don't see it. We always see it from the
front. That's true.
And Scorsese Smurf had big eyebrows.
Whoa. Let's not make fun of Scorsese, all right? Oh. It's... No.
It's well runs deep.
The Departed is one of the best movies ever. Let's calm down.
You don't want to get this podcast targeted by Scorsese.
Right, exactly.
People rain maybe fire down on this.
He'll send DiCaprio to kill me or something.
Oh, dude, if only we'd be so lucky. So now, I got a new thing. Leonardo DiCaprio and Neil Patrick Harris on the podcast. That's the goal. Together.
Nah.
Oh.
That's humble. Nah. Humble goals.
Listen, I've got
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. That's who I want.
Oh, can we have all three?
No. Oh. Just him.
Oh. Maybe he'll sing a song. All right.
All right.
Keep moving.
Comic stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know what would be really nice? If we actually had, like, little blurbs between each segment so we can hear, like, you know, comic books.
That would be super. So,
we'll get Joseph Gordon-Levitt to work on that.
DC is only 6 months into their reboot.
Yay!
They were ruling the sales of comics, which just means that they're selling to, like, 100,000 people.
So you mean, like, the 30 fans that actually buy it?
Yeah, well, no, there's 100,000.
Okay.
But that's still, like, nothing compared to, like, other things, circulation.
There's 100,000 people living in their basement?
Marvel.
Hello? Did I lose you? I think I did.
Give me is a reboot a good time? Does that mean it's a good time to start reading conference finals?
It's always a good time to start.
Hey, guys. Actually, I think I lost you for like 2 seconds there. We all cut out. So maybe if you rewind.
What? Oh,
what are you saying?
Really? Yes. Well, we were just talking about DC reboot and how they were basically ruling sales charts until this last month where Marvel beat them out again. So they had about six months on top, and now they're not on top anymore. The reboot's already...
No, that was what I was talking to you about earlier. The article says, 2011, Marvel beat DC in all sales.
No, but they also beat them in December. I know that.
Right, whatever. But, I mean, when did the stupid... New 57 start?
Well, it started 6 months ago, because we're on issue 5 now, but it really started with the first issue of Justice League, which happened the
month
before.
Alright, so let's make up some imaginary numbers then, alright? So, if they had 6 months to basically get on top, and they were leading the pack, you would figure by the end of 2011, they actually would have won, but they didn't. They lost.
I know.
So,
it's weird. And,
is that a failure? I think it is.
Well, there's an extra week in December for Wednesdays. So comics had another week where Marvel put stuff out, and DC decided to skip that week entirely. So they put zero things out on the fifth Wednesday of December.
That doesn't make no sense. But what was that?
Was that outside your window, Sean?
Oh, it might have been, yeah. Did it sound like a truck downshifting?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Okay, fantastic.
Well, that's
I just
a good segue into our truck segment.
No. But just like a truck, DC can't move its sales.
No, and it's really sad. It goes into like the other part of this topic. They're already cutting stories, and in the first 2 weeks, they were changing their creative teams already.
Well, let's.
They didn't give anything a time to grow.
Talk about this though. 6 months in, they've lost. They basically have not won against Marvel. And here's the worst part. Marvel was doing, what is it, Fear Itself? That crap?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they lost to that. Good job.
I don't want to be too highbrow, but I want to... DC is the Mussolini of the big two. because the only thing you can say that's good about them is they kept the comics coming on time.
And the worst part is that they're both fighting over the sinking Titanic. They're both fighting over a sinking Titanic. Like, it's going to go under, and they're just going to be sinking in there.
I mean, whoever decides to utilize digital the best first is going to be on top for a long time.
Actually, we'll talk about that later. Marvel just came out. What are you going to say?
I was going to ask if anyone started yet with going digital.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've done it in different ways, but the thing
pretty much all the big ones are digital now.
Marvel has started doing so. This is another dumb move by both these guys. So Amazon has all the DC graphic novels. Well, guess who gets the Marvel stuff? You would figure Amazon would, but nope, they have to be different. So now Nook gets all the Marvel crap.
Well, that's not exactly true, though, because everybody has Comixology, which has everything.
I don't think the Androids have Comixology yet, do they?
I just know the iPad has Comixology.
Well, that's still so that only one thing.
And wait a minute, they're both Android.
No, they are, yes. Well, no, not the Nook color, is it?
It is.
Oh, well, but Amazon sells things from their own marketplace, so that's by itself.
Yeah.
Are they at least being sold in the same format, so that once the Nook goes under and no one has it anymore?
Well, it's almost like a DRM format. You can't read it outside of the application.
Well, that's the problem with half these things. It's basically like you're not buying the comics, you're renting them. It's the same
No, you're not renting them because that would mean that there's a certain date that they'd expire. They don't give you a date.
Well, there is an expiration date. It's when, like what he said, it's when they
both the dice. But that's not a real date.
What like, do you care?
You can't rent something. You can't say you're renting something. You're purchasing a license for it.
Until it expires.
It doesn't expire, though.
It's not like a DVD where it's like DVD players are just going to go away. It's not like a Betamax thing. You can always keep your Betamax player. But then
you can always keep your iPad.
I don't know. With the Comixology, I'm worried that they may end up doing one of those things with, like, Steam where you have to be connected online so it can verify you. You know what I mean?
Right now, they have no plans to do anything like that, and I think that would be the death. Why would you limit it when it's barely surviving as it is?
Here, Sean, I want your take, though, is. So, DC just came out with this beautiful 52 thing, right? And they were trying to get new comic readers in. Guys who, you know, like pop culture stuff, like, you know, a little bit more of the nerdy stuff. Did you read any of these new books?
I haven't heard of them, no.
Exactly. And that's the problem.
You didn't hear about any of them, like, from New York Times or something?
Nope. Was it in the front page of the New York Times?
I was going to say...
Maybe, like, the first day of the relaunch.
The New York Times? Like, who even reads the New York Times except for, like, the free app, which gives you top news?
So what exactly is this relaunch? Like,
you go.
All right. Well, basically, it's...
Maybe
every single,
memory,
every single title was canceled. On DC in August, somewhere around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then 52 new titles popped up. And some of them were from existing characters, but everything was supposed to be basically a reboot. Everything starts over. All new sort of directions for characters, all new origins. Like, the names were the only things that were going to be the same. And
that's pretty huge.
That's 50% of it didn't end up like that at all. It was just more of the same. But 50% of it is stuff that you'd never read before that's doing really well.
No, and they did really good stuff, but then they dropped a bunch of 6 titles recently.
Well, they were really bad titles, except for Static Shock, which I loved.
No, OMAC was apparently pretty good.
No, was OMAC dropped?
Yes.
I didn't think that was one of them.
Blackhawks, Hawk and Dove, Men of War, Mr. Terrific, and OMAC. And honestly, Mr. Terrific, I mean, from what I was reading and from what I've seen of it, it completely, like, went against, like, the coolness of Mr. Terrific in the first place.
They made him some really weird, like, bro or something. It was terrible.
Was
like, that's the first issue.
Wasn't he kind of like, I hate God? And it was like, really? Because Mr.
He was adamantly an atheist, and he would talk about it a lot. But it was only in the first 2 issues that I heard.
I mean, and some atheists are like that, but not every atheist has to be like that.
Black atheists do.
Oh, yeah, we always have to have the stereotypical angry black guy.
But was it always part of the projection that a few of these less popular titles would fall away, sort of, as...
No. I guess.
No. I mean, realistically,
the problem was, if they had sales, they wouldn't drop away. They actually just wanted to add 6 titles. They didn't want any titles to drop away.
No. They would have... If they were selling, they would have just added the comics to it. Because the 52 comics that they say that's the only thing they're printing, they also have their kid lineup. They also have this other stuff, too. It's not just 52 comics. It's a big sales pitch, basically.
And they're... Some of the big people that weren't mentioned before, like James Robinson, that they're going to be writing the new comics, which I'm excited about. That's going to be good. Like, it's all the Earth 2 stuff.
And to be completely honest,
I'd be
really surprised if OMAC or Mr. Terrific or Static Shock was really doing that much. I want to see the sales comparison to, like, Batgirl, for instance.
And the worst thing is, I think a lot of the new readers might have been going digital, but they still don't use digital to decide if they want to keep printing a book.
Oh, and also...
I bought OMAC digitally.
We'll see, but
those numbers aren't getting counted?
Yeah.
They aren't?
No. Oh, basically, like, from what I hear, they still decide what they want, because digital's so untested, they don't know how long those sales will last, so they're still using the direct market when people pre-order books from Diamond as the way to tell if they should keep doing a series.
Wow.
It's terrible.
Seems archaic.
It really is, but that's the comic book industry now. It loves to destroy itself.
Well, because they like to keep putting in more middlemen for their distribution, which makes no sense. Yay!
Well, that's why I think, you know, Image is trying to work around this, Dark Horse is working around this, Comixology is doing it on their own. They actually will publish people's comics for them, right to digital. That's the way to do it.
DC has enough money. They should just publish the damn thing themselves and distribute themselves.
I think they own a big chunk of Diamond. Like, they actually own, like, a part of it or something.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Marvel basically pulled all the way from Diamond, but they still distribute them themselves. So there's, like, a whole, like, weird inner working thing there. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It's a messed up industry. And that's what's so funny about it.
It's like when you go down to the Mexican border and you want to, like, just transport goods from one place to the other. Have you, like, actually gone through the steps of what it takes to actually get things from one side to the other? That is exactly how comics
work. No, I'm not trying to be a drug mule, Perry.
Listen, I'm not talking about being a drug mule. I'm talking about being a legal drug mule.
Oh.
There's a difference. You have to pay taxes on legal drugs.
But you can still put illegal drugs in them.
Right, exactly. Delicious. Right. It's like a Twinkie. But that's my point. So someone like Sean, who it was supposed to attract and love, I don't think anybody from outside of comics, like, maybe if you were in the news industry, you've heard about it and you read it, because that's all the guys I saw who never read comics were now reading them. It was reporters.
And I'd like to say that price points are scaring people away, but I don't think a lot of people who haven't read it know even what the prices are.
Listen, there are a lot of great comic book shops out there, but there are also a lot of them that look like mom's basements, like cobwebs and creepy guys who, like, express their opinions to you, like, when you don't want them.
Well, yeah, that's why I think the comic book store is the worst current way to sell comics. I mean, there's, as it is now.
There's a reason
why going digital should really be, like, a...
It should be the way, but, like, there are so many people in the industry that are nostalgic for brick and mortar.
I mean, there's a
reason... That makes sense, yeah.
There's a reason why going to a GameStop now, the person is not going to talk to you about the video games, at least they shouldn't. The only thing that's going to come out of their mouths is, would you like to do a pre-order?
Because that's all they say. It's
right,
true.
Because GameStop has basically nipped that in the butt because they don't need a dumb nerd telling people, like, that their games are bad or that the system they like is awful.
Because they know
is. They don't need fanboy.
Right. No, they don't need to hire, like, a control delete character to tell them, like, that their life's awful and then make an awful joke about miscarriages.
Whoa, come on. Somebody will work at a GameStop and make the most brilliant comic in the history of mankind.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
It'll be amazing.
Actually, so maybe what I'll do is before next week, I'll look for one of these titles and start reading it.
You should.
Listen, it's in your hands. Only you can save this industry.
Yes.
One of my lot of comics.
See, what I think, and I've seen this opinion in a bunch of places, I think what they really were going for was they lost a lot of readers in the 90s. Like, people like me, who read it when they were kids and then just got bored with a lot of the stuff later on. And then they thought that this would bring them back to comics because it's a new jumping on point.
I think the problem was is they should have went after people who they knew were going to have children and they could introduce their children into comics.
Well, see, I think they did some of that too, but
get them
obviously,
young.
Obviously, I would say 90% of the new 52 books are not for kids.
No, they're not.
They're very bloody, very, like, racy. I mean, I like that kind of stuff.
Well,
but... I mean, it's not for kids.
Do you ever watch, like, so here's another thing. So Marvel Adventures, by the way, is ending in March, so that's awful.
Comic series?
Yeah, well, all the Marvel Adventure titles are all going away.
Well, who was even buying those?
Well, nobody was, because kids don't read comics. At least not those comics. Yeah. But I always thought it was funny, like, how every Spider-Man issue was all ages, when it clearly was not. It was not an all ages comic.
It read very much like current Spider-Man stuff.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Marvel Adventures was like that. Marvel Adventures was very kiddie, because, like, Spider-Man would dress up like Zeus and stuff. It was actually really fun.
He had a frog that became Thor.
Right, exactly. It was good stuff. But I'm talking about regular Spider-Man. If you look at the rating on that, it's always all ages. I never see it as PG or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's really not, especially the newest storyline, Spider Island, was very violent.
Is it still rated all ages though?
I don't know.
It is.
I don't look at that. I just pick it up because Spider-Man's the best hero ever.
Well, and that's one thing I have liked about this whole stupid charade of comics. No comics code anymore. It's pretty much gone.
Good. That's what it should be. Now where's my EC comics again?
They actually rebooted that couple of those, didn't they?
Well, there are some books that were on EC, but they never really rebooted it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Move to the next topic, Brandon.
Oh, okay. Right.
I think I'm gonna step out in the segue.
All right. Well, Sean, it was nice having you on the show.
It was great being on the show.
Hopefully, see you again with some more fun.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you, man.
What?
I said it was nice meeting him.
Right back at you.
Whoa.
And,
Oh, that's not good. You've just made a friend who will kill you.
Whoa.
Oh my god.
Listen, he's not Neil Patrick Harris, so we don't have to worry about that just yet. Are you?
Yeah, I haven't won a People's Choice Award, okay? I've only been nominated.
Yeah, well, haven't we all? I vote for myself every year.
You know,
Dramatic
movie. That's all it takes, one vote.
I've never actually been nominated for a People's Choice Award, so maybe this is my year.
Best podcast.
Maybe this is my year. Yeah, right.
See ya.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Next, Brian Wood. If you remember, I was talking about him before.
I know who Brian Wood is.
He's back at Marvel.
Oh my god.
And he's writing something that's weirdly redundant. Wolverine and the X-Men, Alpha and Omega.
Okay.
And it's like this mini-series that talks about Quentin Quire, who's like this bitchy little hipster mutant who's at Wolverine's new school for mutants.
Is it about punk people?
He sort of looks he's like a purple mohawk.
Hey, welcome back, Brian Wood.
No, I know, it's not bad, but it's also not that great. I'm gonna keep reading it, but like I'm really excited for all the other stuff that Brian Wood's gonna be doing soon.
Is he exclusively Marvel now or something?
He signed a contract with Marvel, but he's also doing like some indie stuff too. Like he's working on the new Conan the Barbarian comic.
Oh, which actually,
he's good at that kind of stuff. If you've ever read Northlander.
Speaking of Conan the Barbarian, did you see there's going to be a crossover with Gru?
Yep. Well, there's been one before in the 80s. There was.
Yeah, wasn't like a page thing because I saw the one where he did a crossover with Usagi Yojimbo, where it was basically like just one.
Well,
page.
It's funny because their art style is very similar.
Well, yeah. Stan Sakai and I can't remember. Sergio Aragonés.
Sergio Aragonés, you got it.
I did. I'm so good at this. They're good friends. I think they're like really good friends.
They definitely like went to the same school for cartooning. If you look at their stuff, it's very similar.
I'm being completely stupid. I know that they know each other because if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if Stan Sakai still does it, but he was the letterer on Gru for a long time.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I mean Stan Sakai, it was
Gru's always done very well. The inking and everything's good.
I don't know if that was his original job, but I know that he's been doing lettering for a long time, and I absolutely love his hand lettering. It's really
good. I mean, like, if that's who was doing Gru, like, that's some good stuff.
I mean, that's one of the things I wish I could do better is hand letter. I've tried to do it a little in my stuff, but it's not as good as other people. Like, there's some really great hand letterers out there nowadays. I'm really glad it's still doing it. That people are still doing it.
Like, everybody still employs, like, some hand letters, even the big two.
Not really. Like, was it Chris Apollosis, or whatever his name is? Apollosis. I'm going to pronounce it wrong.
I have no idea.
Well, it's the guy who did Franklin Richards. He's a letterer. But I think he does most of his stuff digitally. I don't know if he does it anything by hand at all. Because you can't. The letterers are given so many titles. Unless you specifically say, this title is going to have hand lettering and I require it. I mean, you have to hire one guy, and he can't be doing too many more other projects, because it takes a while.
The whole thing has to look the same.
Well, it just hand lettering takes a while, and it's got a really great style to it. I mean, look at old cartooning. Look at Pogo. Oh my god, that lettering is gorgeous.
Well, you don't always need to do it like that, though. I think if you remember Sandman, didn't they do that digitally?
I don't know.
But I love the lettering in Sandman.
I mean, you can do it digitally, too. You just have to have someone who knows, like, Adobe Illustrator who can make fonts on a whim.
But, you know, you remember, like, when Death was talking or when Sandman was talking, like, the fonts would change. It was really cool.
I actually have not read all of Sandman, so I'm an awful person.
You are. I think you are.
I think someone once said, like, if someone has not read Sandman, they are an awful person and they deserve to die. That might have been you.
So, Brian Wood's doing a few other things, I believe. And he's going to be back.
Wait, we were talking about Brian Wood?
Yeah, we were.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm excited. Because I always love his take on, like, characters. I think he's going to be writing, like, some main books after he's done with this Wolverine book.
I mean, Brian Wood, I actually really want to read his Norlanders book. I didn't actually get through
it. It's almost over. It's got, like, 2 issues left or something.
Well, I mean, I love Vikings, so I need to read that.
And his take on it is so good. It's, like, over, like, a legacy.
Well, it's going to be tough because, you know, the guy who did the book Planet Des or Planet ES? I don't know exactly how you want to say
it. Manga?
Yeah, yeah. So he's still doing it. It's a long series. It's called Vinland Saga. It's amazing. It's really, really good.
Is it better than Planet ES? Yeah, it is ES because it stands for Earth Shield.
I don't know because I love. See, the problem is I love the two genres. I love a realistic sci-fi take because...
Oh, I mean, it. You know what Planet ES reminded me of a lot? Is Ridley Scott's Alien.
By the way, read...
It's like really realistic military space shit.
By the way, even though I kind of liked it, don't really watch... Don't watch the cartoon version of it, at least until you've actually read Planet ES, because...
Well, I watched the anime first. I've read it.
Oh,
I've read both.
Yeah. I didn't really like the anime as much. I felt like it got...
It's short, but I liked it.
It got way too dramatic. Like, I felt like it didn't have the nice subtleness that the comic book had.
I think I watched it back when, like, Sci-Fi Network was doing animes.
It got a little bit too over the top with the terrorist stuff. It was just like, eh. I didn't like
remember
it as much.
Remember they did those After Dark animes?
Yeah, I know. But... So Vinland Saga, though, is just so rich, and you can tell the guy did a very... I mean, he does tons of research, and it's just perfect. The Vikings aren't, like, barbaric. They have this great caste system. You get
to
see what the politics are.
I think I've read some of this before.
It's so good.
I believe I've read a little bit of the series already.
And, of course, he has to throw in lead characters like Leif Erikson. And the thing about Leif Erikson is that, you know, people always assume, like, well, he's probably, like, a big old Viking guy. But in the book series... He's actually, like, an old kind of man. He's, like, middle-aged. He's balding. So there's a lot of good stuff to it. Because, I mean, honestly, that's probably how Leif Erikson was. I mean, he was, like, a trader or a merchant.
Well, I mean, you probably start out young, and then you get old later.
Well, hilarious. But most people think of Leif Erikson as, like a big hero, right?
I don't know. He was a criminal.
Well, he was a merchant, wasn't he? Like, wasn't
anybody
trade?
Well, no, his father was a criminal. I don't know if he was.
Well, see, that's the thing. People have, like, these... Like, when you think of Leif Erikson, it's like how you think of Robin Hood. You know, you think of, like, this guy who's, like, got a green tunic on.
I've never thought about Leif Erikson as Robin Hood.
No, I'm just saying heroes have these images that you think of. I can't talk anymore. Just keep going. Right. Keep going.
Well, Northlanders is good. DMZ is good. Brian Wood makes good books.
DMZ was pretty good. Demo was but, you know.
I never read Demo. Did he do Deviate as well?
I don't know. I did really like, what was it, Pounded? Pounded was...
That was great. That was that punk rock comic he did, which that was amazing.
No, it was a lot of fun. Although I still kind of feel like at the end of the book, I would have enjoyed it more if the punk rock guy didn't win.
What, you wanted his, like, bitchy Asian girlfriend to win?
Yeah, I kind of wanted that, because, like, I mean, he really deserves his comeuppance. I mean, he does say he's sorry at the end, but I kind of wanted him to sort of stay there.
He gets his comeuppance, like, halfway through the book, he gets the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, I know, he got it, and he does apologize for what he did, so that sort of makes it better, but I kind of still wish I wish he was, like, not at the top again, because he went up to the top and you saw that he still got his cocky attitude.
Yeah, he was still kind of a dick, but I thought he was a funny character.
Right, it was very much kind of like, you know what actually reminded me a lot of, is before Scott Pilgrim came out, that had come out, I read that, and I kind of like how Scott Pilgrim did the take on that, because, you know, Scott Pilgrim's a dick, too.
It's true,
he is. I mean,
so, what?
What? What?
I thought you were saying something.
No, nothing.
Right. So one last topic is, and this is the funniest story of the week that I saw, so maybe I'll try and, like, find that every week. But this one is Grant Morrison is doing his own convention, and it's called Morrison Con. And the graphic for it is just his face, like an ink drawing of his face.
So The thing I wanted to say about that is, one, I did not know that Grant Morrison was going to make it himself, so he's making it for himself.
Well, no, no, it's being produced, it's in production with iFanboy, and then some, and Isotope Comics, which is like a comic book store, I think.
What are we going to talk about at Grant Morrison Con? Like,
what do you mean?
Is there going to be a panel, like, what? How much of a mindfuck is Grant Morrison going to be in this comic?
Well, it's seriously the epitome of Grant Morrison. Like, did you read Super Gods, the book he wrote?
I've heard mixed things. From you, I've heard Super Gods is amazing.
It's amazing until you get halfway through. It's an autobiography. Well, he talks about the history of comics, and then he just talks about the history of Grant Morrison.
I hear he just jumps around a lot. Like, it doesn't, like, certain things are really cool how he talks about it, but he just goes all over the spectrum, and it's like,
There's a lot of awesome stuff in the book, but there's also a lot of stuff that I just didn't care about at all.
I mean, listen, I love Grant Morrison, but Neil Gaiman would probably have more stuff to talk about at a convention about himself.
No, exactly. Like, was there gonna, like, in Morrison, he's already had, like, a documentary produced just about him.
Really?
And his, like, stuff with Batman, yeah.
What? I mean, I like Grant Morrison, but, you know, when Jeff Smith got a documentary made about him, I was like, that makes sense. He was one of the first independent publishers that really, I mean, independent comic makers that really made it. Him and Cerberus, those comics, and the Ninja Turtles, those guys deserve documentaries. Now, granted, Dave Sim is crazy, and he also hates women, but, you know, I just personally think that Grant Morrison does not need it. He doesn't
I gave you the link to it. Go check it out. You need to see the picture.
I saw the picture already. It was on the link. It looks horrifying. I don't like it.
It's really creepy.
I mean, he kind of looks like the guy from Watchmen, except he's not naked, which I'm kind of appreciative of.
It's just, I mean, like, I don't know what to think about it, because I like him as a writer, but he needs to stop stuff like this. It's just weird.
And also, it says 9 handpicked comic creators. Who would want to come to a convention, like, named after the main guy who's going there? It's not like Jack Kirby Con. I mean, at least
I can't see somebody like Jeff Johns wanting to do this when he's just as big a blowhard.
Whatever. I mean, what do you want? Why would you do that?
And I love, you know, Grant Morrison, and I can't wait to read Batman Inc. It's going to be amazing. That's one of the ones that's going to be starting, too.
I did hear that's coming back. So that's good. But at the same time, with all the time travel shit, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. By the way, here's something that surprised me, which I'm actually really happy about.
Anymore. Batwing. Matt, rest in peace.
So Batwing is still around.
Yeah. Apparently. Right. Well, it's funny. There are people that like it.
No, I do. I've heard nothing
but
good things.
But I feel like there were more people that liked OMAC. I don't know.
No, but that's the point. I've heard nothing but good things about Batwing, so I actually want to pick up the trade for it. Because it sounded really dumb, but you know what? If it got good reviews, I'm reading it. Because it looks interesting.
That's the biggest problem, though. There are too many Bat books, and there are too many Superman books. I wanted new books. I don't want a Huntress book.
But
I don't want a
Batwing is taking place in Africa. It's not the exact same thing. I will say, I am very
disappointed. But, like, I didn't need Batwoman was a big... Batwoman is great. Batgirl was a mistake. It's just not good.
No, I will say this. I am very disappointed that Batwing... Not about Batwing. I am disappointed that Static Shock isn't sticking around. They should have just retooled it.
Well, put a new writer on it. The art was good. The story was a little weird. Like, his sister had a clone, and they never explained why, and that just bothered me a lot.
But there's a whole lot of... Okay, so, listen, The Flash. I can't imagine The Flash is only sticking... I can only see The Flash sticking around, because I just really wonder what the sales are like for that.
The Flash is a very good comic right now.
It is a good comic, but that's my point. But what about
the
sales?
The art's unbelievable.
Let's talk about sales. Batgirl, The Flash, and, like, All-Star Western. Those can't be selling that well, can they?
I think Batgirl's selling amazingly well for how bad it is.
Okay, let's calm down a little bit. Everyone really seems to hate Gail Simone recently. Like, I don't know.
Is she writing it?
Yeah, Gail Simone's writing it. She's also writing another thing, too. A lot of people don't like her for some reason, but I don't know. I've always liked her stuff.
I have no problem with her. We weren't talking about Gail Simone. I was talking about Batgirl.
She's writing it.
Yeah, who cares?
She's involved with it. All right, never mind. Well, regardless, the point is that I just feel like there's a whole bunch of books out there that are actually selling kind of poorly. I feel like they just put these ones on the chopping block because they don't have the name presence. You know, Static... Static Shock doesn't, like, you know, say, like, hey, you see Static Shock? And maybe one out of, like, 10 people will basically be like, oh, yeah, I love that cartoon. You know what I mean? Nobody knows it's a comic.
I don't know. I love the cartoon. I love the comic. It just hasn't had a whole lot of luck with popularity. I get why it's being canceled. Hopefully he shows up somewhere else.
Actually,
I'm surprised Blue Beetle's not canceled yet. That's another good comic.
Actually, you know what I really like is, you know, get rid of the, scrap the whole Infamous series and get the guys who made Infamous to make a Static Shock game. That's all I want.
It would work.
That'd be amazing. It would be amazing. Or like just let Static Shock show up in Infamous. It could totally
make a new
work.
Static Shock cartoon.
Yes. Let's just get Static Shock back on the earth. No, make him join the Teen Titans, Young Justice. Come on. He'd be perfect.
Oh, in the cartoon. Yeah, that would be good.
He'd
that
be
would
perfect.
Be so good.
Oh, I love it. All right, anyway, but that's not happening.
All right, I don't know if there's anything else to really talk about.
There wasn't. I saw the new Sherlock. It's amazing.
Oh, wait, you're on the new ones now, finally?
Yeah, yeah, I am. Oh, my
wait,
God.
Wait, did you watch Hound of Baskerville?
I'm about halfway through it.
I think the first episode of the season's the best right now, though.
Oh, my God. It was... I don't think they're going to be able to top it. I'll have to see the last episode, but dear Lord, that was amazing.
Yeah,
was,
their interpretation of Irina Adler is
so
good.
Oof. She's too pretty.
It's too scary.
Oh, it's fantastic. I loved it. I loved the ending. Oh, my God, it was perfect, because I was like, no, it can't end like this. I was like, yes, it can totally end like that. That is how I want it to end.
I mean, these are so... They're pretty much just self-contained movies. You don't know anything about Sherlock Holmes. It's just brilliant.
All right, let's just get out of the way, because I want to say one thing really quickly. So, spoiler alert, if you didn't see, like, the first season of this new Sherlock Holmes thing, don't listen to the next part, because I'm going to totally ruin the ending for the first episode.
No,
don't do it. No. The last ending where Sherlock thinks that she's actually dead... Or you as a viewer think she's dead.
Yeah.
And you're led to believe that. They could have ended it right there, and that would have been a fine ending. Now, I would have been distressed because I would have been like, God damn it, I wish she wasn't dead, because she's such a great character. I would have liked
her
to...
You sort of assume that she dies if you read the original Sherlock Holmes stuff, too. Or not dies,
well,
but she's probably getting in trouble.
No, she... I mean, actually, after this, I went to Wikipedia, and I read through all the stuff so I could learn about her.
Yeah.
And she actually, at the end, she beats Sherlock Holmes, but she's married, and she basically is kind of like, haha, I beat you, sucker.
She runs off to Europe.
Right, but she's married, and that kind of is, like, even more of a dick move. But I actually appreciated this, because if they had ended it and she had died, not a big loss. Because I know this show has to end at some point. They can't keep doing it forever, because it gets too, I don't know, not thematic, but it just, formulaic, is what I want to say. It gets too formulaic, and we know what's going to happen. But... I do say, like, as far as the episode goes, I like the fact that they actually made it so that she lived. Because, yes, I know that's, like, cliche, and it's kind of, like to make the audience happy and stuff like that. But that's... Oh, it just made me feel so good that Sherlock still was Sherlock. Because the entire episode...
I'm trying to figure out the timeline of that, how he got to that country.
There's ways to do it. But the whole point is that I just like the idea that the entire episode... That entire episode, in my opinion, Sherlock was getting his ass handed to him. Like, he really was, like... thrown for a loop and stuff like that, and I like the idea that at the very end he actually did something like to one up her, and he did. He totally did, and it was beautiful.
It was a good episode overall.
I also like how they brought in the whole of the woman thing. I like how they made her a dominatrix, because honestly, the whole thing they did in the other movie where she was like a thief, didn't really like it. Like the I'm talking about the whatchamacallit, the Jude Law and what's his face, Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that one? The new one?
No, I didn't see the new one, but remember the last one? She was in the original Sherlock Holmes that they did.
Yeah.
But she was just a thief. I mean, I like her being something a little bit more prestigious than that.
Well, those movies took place sort of after he'd already, I don't know, knew her or something. It was weird.
Well,
the timeline for those movies isn't exactly, like, accurate.
Right. But, and it's not that I don't think those are fun, but I don't know. I actually kind of really like the take on this. I like how he's not, like, a fighter. I like how he's very much like Sherlock Holmes should be, and I like how Watson is very much an army guy. I don't know. It's really good stuff. Although I will say this, I feel like Watson's taken a somewhat a back seat. Like, the first season was all about Watson, and now the second season's all about Holmes. You get that feeling that Watson's kind
definitely
of like
not. It's not still all about, as much. It was all about Holmes in both occasions.
No,
just Watson's a framing device, but it's always about Holmes.
No, I feel like Watson actually, there was a lot more character stuff with him. Like, Watson would go on dates, he would learn about the woman he was dating and stuff like that. And at this point...
That still happened in this.
I feel like the focus...
Everything you said happened in this season, too.
I feel like this focus has shifted to Holmes, which isn't a bad thing, but I feel like that's the first season with Watson, second season is Holmes.
Nah, they're both definitely Holmes, I think.
Also, you know, I never even knew about the character. Was it Mycroft or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't know about his brother?
I like the inspector guy and everything like that, because I still think he's... Yeah, I still think he's amazing, but he's such the Sherlock's brother is so awesome too. Oh, I love it.
No, like Mycroft is such a brilliant character. He's basically they had to create a position in the British government to give him, and he basically runs the government.
Well, I also read up on him too, and apparently in the original novels, he actually is kind of like a lazy guy. Like he would do the same thing
he never leaves his club. Diogenes Club.
Right, he would basically do the same stuff that Sherlock does, but he's too lazy to do the legwork.
No. Well, he's actually considered more brilliant than Sherlock.
Well, also in the novels, they basically said that he has a position in the British government, but they never actually say what it is.
Well, exactly, but whatever it is, it can pretty much controls the whole government.
Right, and I feel
and
like...
He does it all from a seat in the Diogenes Club, which is a club where nobody can talk. And no women are allowed.
Well, see, and that's the problem. I kind of feel like he became, in the novels then, in my experience, he would feel like a MacGuffin, you know?
Where he's a very different character in the books than I think he's ever portrayed in the TV, except for the 1980s series.
No, but I feel like he would be like a MacGuffin, where basically the only point of him is to move the plot forward.
Not exactly. He's the one who actually brings plot points. Like, he'll start a story. Like, there's one where a bunch of submarine plans are stolen. And, like, the secret submarine boat, and Sherlock has to discover it, but the case is given to him by Mycroft.
Is that the one that the missile plans was based on?
Maybe? I don't know. I'm trying to remember. That was the first season, right?
Yeah, that was. That was, like, the second episode or something, because Sherlock gets all these cases, and Mycroft gives him, like, one on top of it.
Yeah, it's similar to that.
Yeah. Anyway, but, good stuff. Loved that episode. It's going to be really hard for them to top that first season.
I loved this episode.
Oh, my God.
Of the podcast.
Oh, I saw what you owe you.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, I enjoyed this as well, Brandon. And I hope that you guys
did too. Stop reading from the script, Perry.
No, the script is in my mind. I'm actually staring at the Grant Morrison picture because he won't look away.
That picture's hypnotic.
He won't look away, Brandon.
All right. Well, remember to rate and review us on iTunes, Sick Nasty Deluxe Podcast.
And I'll see you at MorrisCon.
Pretend this episode didn't happen, though. Maybe, like, pick the previous episode.
Yeah, don't do this one.
All right. Bye.